Blog Talk Radio.
Hello. Okay, this is Access Astrology, and we have been having great technical difficulties today, but here we are back on the line. This is Heather Rowan Robbins, and I am speaking to you from a smoky Montana here tonight with forest fires all around us. And I am joined by Mark.
Mark Waltz from New York City, where we're having nice weather.
Oh, lovely.
Let it
all of our rain.
Nice weather elsewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yes. All of our rain has gone to Houston.
Yeah.
Mercury is so very retrograde because we just went through a series of technical difficulties getting on the air. But I also see this Mercury retrograde. Mercury retrograde is about to, tonight, back up into the degree that the solar eclipse occurred. And Mars is about to join it at that degree. And we're seeing this swirling, you know, like the hurricane. It's swirling but stuck in place. And I'm hearing of a lot of emotional relationships, situations, efforts to get projects done that are very busy but getting nowhere. And that what works really well right now is holding still. If you are not in a storm and you don't have a deadline and you can just meditate or rest or focus, that goes beautifully at the moment.
Yeah, sounds good.
How are you experiencing this Mercury retrograde?
Well, you know, with all of the energy of the eclipse, it seems like Mercury retrograde is minor.
Mm-hmm. But I think they emphasize
the
each other.
Yeah, but the eclipse got the majority of the attention.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially in this
it really
country
feels
because,
like. Yeah.
You know, everybody knew there was an eclipse. A lot of times they don't, but.
Yep, there was on this eclipse because we saw it. But as Mercury retrogrades back to that degree, it feels like it's giving a voice to the eclipse.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of, you know, ugly information is coming to the surface. But, you know, we also see people working really hard because often with Mercury retrograde, there is an agenda other than the one we thought we had. And we're called to do some work aside, not what we thought we were doing, but some body of work that we really have to dive into. And the people that are really showing up in Houston for this and remembering that how to help one another are doing a beautiful job of honoring this Mercury retrograde. No one can get anywhere. I mean, the transportation problems they're having are tremendous. And I suspect they will hold through the weekend because the sun is coming to oppose Neptune on Monday.
Right. Yep.
And until that opposition clears and Mercury turns direct on Tuesday, but the Mercury doesn't get back into Virgo until September 10th. So I think that we'll start to see everything begin to straighten out and dry out starting Tuesday, but it's still going to take a week to, you know, feel like we can get on with what we thought was our agenda this fall.
Yeah. Yeah, it's it's a tough one.
Mm-hmm. It is. And, you know, I think that when Mercury retrograde happens, often we see plots or plans or things that happened that we couldn't see at the time that get revealed once Mercury turns direct.
Yeah.
So it may be that the waters begin to lower early next week and we see what the real damage is, or, you know, who was caught underwater in a way that we can't see at the moment. I'm also worried with the... Mm-hmm.
It'll take a while.
Yeah. I'm also worried with the Sun opposed Neptune. You know, Houston is one of the biggest oil manufacturers, but it's also some of the biggest chemical manufacturing plants. And the refrigeration units on some of the major chemical plants has failed because they're drowned. And so there's a real chance of combustible fluids and serious pollution due to this, and I think we just won't know until early next week what's really going to happen.
Right. And Neptune will tell that story because, you know, Neptune has a lot to do with poisons.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's interesting with that process, how do we bring it back, you know, to our individual lives? So it's a good time to look at what's polluting us, and maybe we want to help clear that up.
Right.
Maybe we want to give a voice to, because Mercury's coming back to conjunct, to notice what's changing in our lives, of what we need and what we haven't been ignoring over this eclipse, and see how we can find a voice for that. You know, we can catch all the outrageous stories for people, but how are we feeling it individually and working with it is a good question.
Yeah, and catching a lot of outrageous stories is a little bit like being drawn into the swirl that you talked about. And you can get caught in that swirl because there is so much swirling around, and you know. And when I say the word swirl, I think of toilets. You know, the water swirls down the toilet. And, you know, so I think the best thing to do is give yourself 10 minutes of that swirl in the morning when you, you know, tune into the news. And then that's it for the day. Look for another expression that Neptune is trying to give.
Absolutely. And...
Yeah.
You know,
so
it is.
It's important to know what's out there, but don't get caught in it.
Don't avoid it, but.
Right, but don't get caught in it either. Because you can spend the whole day just going around and around in that swirl.
Especially because that eclipse happened at the last degree of Leo, and some of the stories have been outrageous. So, and some of the comments have been outrageous. So it's really hard not to get. But notice that melodrama is a way of avoiding real feeling.
Right.
And while you're focused on what's happening in Houston or the woman whose baby was ripped out of her and killed or one of those stories, you have to look also, I mean, honor those, do what you can there, and what's happening with you and how do you work it, heal it, enjoy the freedom of it, because the eclipse has also let go of a lot of other things which have been important.
Right.
So it's going to be interesting. And again, holding still, meditating, sitting with, you know, really reviewing your life or your last 3 weeks or your last year, really reviewing so that you move forward when the momentum builds up next week. You know, as Mercury turns direct and the Sun opposes Neptune, the Moon heads into Pisces, so we don't feel a lot of push right away. But by Thursday next week, a week from tomorrow, the Moon heads into Aries, and we're going to be in high gear. So what do we need to have in high gear? And that we'll know by doing a good review.
Right. And that review, this week it can be a lot like sitting and watching a movie of your life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you're not the
director. Absolutely.
You're not the director. Mm-hmm. You're just watching.
So we have a few people on the line, and we got a few questions in on the internet. I'm going to take one of the two emails, the other one from a regular client of ours. It's a complicated question, and we've been on recently with her, so I'm going to ask her to hold that question. And we have a woman who asked about a wedding date, and, you know, weddings are hard to plan with Mercury retrograde. But, and so she may, if she makes a decision before next Wednesday, she might have to shift her gears. But we can use this, we like to take questions that are also useful to the public that we can use as teaching moments. And so when you're looking at a wedding, what we usually look for is a waxing moon, because that's, you want to choose a time when things are growing. You want to choose a good aspects to Venus or a happy Venus, so that there's love in the heart, and a good moment when it feels friendly. So there's some interesting questions around that. And she, the two dates she gave us were to choose from were October 13th, Friday the 13th, which is brave of her. Friday is a Venusian day, and so is 13. And 13 is a lunar number, so it's not a bad day. And October 19th. October 13th has Venus and Mars within 5 degrees of each other in Virgo, the sun in Libra, and the moon in Leo. But it's a waning moon, so it looks like a great time for a party. Now, all that week, the sun is moving into an opposition with Uranus, so there is... You know, I might suggest if you're really thinking about how can we make sure this is a long-term marriage, that, and in traditional form, that they might choose another time. But if they do it, this it can be inventive. If they're looking for a relationship that's really alive and inventive, and they are in good communication so they can negotiate the relationship to make it work for them, this isn't a bad week because you've got Uranus involved with the sun. But I like the second day better, the October 13th, one because we can get it on a new moon in Libra. On October 19th, on Thursday, my suggestion would be to do it after 4:30. They're going to be doing the wedding in Jamaica, because this puts right before 3 o'clock, it's the dark of the moon, and that's, you know, you'd get married and divorced. you know, if you want to really take something off, you want a new moon or a waxing moon. Gives you half a month every year, every month. So the new moon is around 3 o'clock. By 4:30, the moon has moved on into a degree and is a degree past the opposition to Uranus. And at that moment in Jamaica, Venus will be in Libra on any time that day. Venus will be in Libra, but it will be in the house of partnership. The sun and moon will be in the house of partnership, and Mercury will be conjunct Jupiter within 2 degrees in Scorpio in the house of partnership. So that looked good to me. You know, in those tricky times, I would choose the waxing moon, unless it's a wedding for people in the latter third of their life. How do you feel about that, Mark, when you're choosing times for people?
Hello?
Mark, you're there? Hi, sorry, I don't know how you got dropped. I was talking about weddings. How do you choose wedding times? Do you have things that you look forward when you're choosing a time for people to get married?
Well, always what's going on with Venus and what's, you know, what's going on with the seventh house of the chart. And, you know, because that's the marriage. And then the moon, as we, you know, whatever's going on, the moon affects the whole thing.
Right.
So, yeah, that's why I like the second date,
chart.
The 19th, with that new moon in Libra. It's very nice.
Excellent. So we'll pass that on to her and see what she comes up with. And now I'm going to take some callers in the order that they came in. Hello, area code 631. You're on the air. How can we help you?
Hi, Heather. Hi, Mark. It's Debbie.
Hi.
Hi,
Debbie.
Hi.
We got to make it quick because we're trying to get through a couple of people tonight. What's your birth information again, and what's your question?
6/29/59, 11:10 p.m., Queens, New York.
Okay. And how are you doing?
Not good.
I know it's been a rough year for you.
I don't know if you noticed, but my little Kobe passed away about a week and a half ago.
Oh.
And my heart is broken beyond.
And that is that Kobe was?
My little Yorkie.
New Yorkie.
Your little Yorkie. Now remember, you're talking to a public that doesn't know you. So we need to include them in. And I'm so sorry to hear that your Yorkie was hurt.
And it was such a freak type thing. Very freak. He was healthy. He was happy. And I didn't know.
Yeah.
Less than 6 days later, he'd be gone. So my main question is, what the heck is on me and what took Kobe away? Because I can't deal with
and
this.
What was the physical problem?
All he did, Heather, was he went for his evening walk and he just stepped off a curb that he steps off of 50 gazillion times and screamed, just screamed. Long story short, he broke his back and he became paralyzed from the waist down. So that's why I said it was a freak thing. And I've had him since he's a baby, almost 9 years. And
what day was that, dear?
It was August 17th, and it happened around, I believe, 7, about 6:30 p.m.
So, you know, that eclipse was pretty tight in your chart on your descendant, was within a degree. And it was... the eclipse, you know, the eclipses for many people when it hits right on have been ending one cycle and beginning another. And it was right between your house of small animals and the house of partnership. So it really looks like it took a toll and ended one partnership and began another. Now, you've got Sun conjunct Pluto this year by progression. So there's been there's kind of a letting go of people and things and places that were part of the last cycle in your life. But there's a new cycle coming in.
It's
and
just hard. I mean, you're the owner of a new puppy.
Yeah.
And you know the love and
I
the
love
joy.
My new puppy. Yeah.
He's adorable. Just don't know how to get through this, and it.
Yeah.
I feel like I have the worst chart ever. You know, it's always something.
But
I just don't know when it's going to ease up.
Is it the worst chart ever? But it's been highly challenged.
Yes.
You've got that Uranus Mars Venus conjunction. Pluto has been inconjuncting it. It's at an angle to your Mars, into your. Pluto in Saturn, you know, in Capricorn, was an exact inconjunct or quincunx to your Mars in the house of small animals when your dog had an accident. And that's a fairly minor aspect, but it's intense. I mean, it's very specific.
Yeah.
So how can we help you, hon?
Do you, well, my famous question, when is it going to lighten up for me? And do you see me getting, I've been
you know that's not the question we ever answer. Our question is, how can it lighten up? Not when. Because I want you to take an active play. How do you begin to bring lightness into your life? How can you bring more joy into your life?
I've been looking all over to all different rescue places for another dog, and it may seem too soon, but so many people have told me, get another dog. Get another dog. Because Kobe will come back in some way to you through another dog. And no luck.
I agree.
Everything is coming against me. No luck.
Well, it's
no
not
luck,
quite
no
time.
Luck.
Would you say it's not, if the new dog is coming but hasn't arrived yet, that may be no luck. It may be just you're calling in your new companion. And I would say open your heart. My suggestion is waiting until Mercury turns direct after Labor Day weekend. And then call in a young dog.
Yeah.
Okay. It was just so hard, guys, because I had to make the worst decision ever of putting him to sleep. And it took an hour and a half of the vet trying to talk me into it. I couldn't let go.
I
was so unexpected. So shock, guilt, and loss. And then where do you go with all that? You know?
Yeah.
And he was my
baby.
That's where
just realizing that eclipses are meant to bring these kind of experiences to us. Things suddenly go away. Just like observing the sun, and all of a sudden a shadow crosses it. You know.
So the eclipse struck him.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's amazing what new room, you know, the new room that comes in. And he went quickly. Now, we have to go because our show is over. I'm going to send you lots of love and healing on that.
Yeah.
Okay?
Thank you.
Yeah, but definitely
right after
Mercury goes direct, go ahead and, you know, be looking.
So and just sit still. And,
you'll be
and
drawn to, yeah.
Okay.
And welcome. Good luck, hon.
All right, thank you both.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you. Take care.
You both have a good night. Okay, thank you, Heather.
Good night.
Thank you, Mark.
And this is Heather signing off from Montana. And Mark?
Mark, signing off from New York.
And
we'll
we're normally joined by
Ann.
And when do you and Ann do your talk in New York, your weekly?
Tuesday evenings at the Open Center on 30th Street. Yeah.
And my new children's book just came out. You can find it on Amazon. Just Google my name. Take care, everybody. And
great. Congratulations.
Good night. Thank you. Good night.